6 minutes after the hour, 12 minutes Central Time, Monday, May 23rd, 2022. Yeah, don't worry about all those noises, just the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. Pay no attention to him. We've got 10% off Miracle 2 and 10% off Willard Water this week at the Power Mall. In the meantime, this next hour is dedicated to all of you conspiracy theorists out there that have something to add to the conversation. The number is 844-769-2944. We don't want to keep our author here, Andy Thomas. I take it you're on the other side of the pond. Is that right, sir?
I am indeed. Yeah, here I am in England.
You gotta love that. England. Yes, Oceania. Is that what we should call it now?
Hopefully not yet, but I'm sure one day. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you gotta love that. See, Orwellian or Hegelian. You know, see, that's what I brought up in my, my little 15 minutes of fame there at Clay Clark. Exactly what agenda are we living in? It depends, I guess, on what conspiracy theory you are going after. Here's a guy, folks, Andy Thomas. He has a website called truthagenda.org. Now, I know all you truth seekers are going to be out there, wanting to contribute, and we want you to. That's one of the reasons why you got a thought about a conspiracy. Well, Andy has a reason why the conspiracy is there in the first place. I believe personally it's there to keep us all in confusion so that people don't start really looking into and discovering what was going on, much like Whitewater. The more people that start investigating Whitewater and the more people cross paths with those in Whitewater, the more people start dropping dead. Vince Foster didn't commit suicide either, if you get my drift. Is that a conspiracy theory, Andy?
I suppose technically it is, but I think we need to live now in a way where we're not ashamed to just be open about it. Look, if you look back through history, conspiracies are eternal. They've always been there. And sometimes you have to speculate. Well, if that makes us theorists, so be it. But, you know, I don't think we should be ashamed of that. There's more than enough evidence that a lot of things are going on that you could brand a conspiracy purely by the dictionary definitions. That's good enough for me.
Well, the new heretics, why that title? I mean, why are these people heretics?
So in the old days, of course, a heretic was somebody that questioned religious orthodoxy. But now we live in times where if you question government orthodoxy or anything which the mainstream wants you to believe, you are now branded, as I've called the book, a new heretic. We are now those people standing up against orthodoxy, trying to have a voice and being told we cannot have one. And the book exists because there are so many people that do not understand why the likes of us are trying to talk about what we're talking about. They've been trained to believe that anybody that is interested in conspiracies, any alternative matter, is a bad person that should be avoided. They're dangerous to society. But I think it's more dangerous to deny them a voice. And if you don't understand why these things are coming up, you're not going to understand what's going on in the world. And yet that's what's happening. We are being suppressed. We are the heretics. And they're not quite burning us yet. But one of these days, metaphorically, we're going to go the same way. So this is an opportunity in the book, the new heretics, to stand up and say, this is why this is happening. Don't just condemn it. Understand it. You might not have to agree with all of it, but understand why it's going on. And then you'll get a better idea of why people care and are so compassionate about these things.
Well, see, and the subtitle of the book is Understanding Conspiracy Theories Polarizing the World. They certainly have done that, especially when it comes to, and I'll go through some of them. Pandemic. How did this start? In Wuhan? No. You see, the spin doctors are at work, and this is what they do. They spin theory. And so anybody that challenges it is censored and canceled. The divisiveness, I think that was the big reason why they tested this stuff in group think tanks and came up with the fact that if they could take and produce enough disinformation to get people arguing amongst themselves, we could basically get through a twofold purpose of confusing the public enough to get the jab and at the same time turn around to having families turn on each other. And I know that for a fact. It's happened.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big issues we've got is polarity. We are encouraged to be polarized. There's a lot in the book about how this works in every way. You've only got to look at, you know, mainstream advertising. Everything wants you to go to one extreme or the other because they control us that way. They can sell us things that way. But in the end, yeah, it becomes a habit, and anything they can do to polarize us and push us into that envelope over there versus that one over there, it's classic divide and rule. I mean, it's such an old ploy. story, and yet it's going on so obviously now. And yet I don't understand why some people can't seem to see that. There are still some people in denial. They think the world's a marvelous place and it's only people like us that disrupt it. And you've only got to look for, you know, 2 seconds to see that that is not the case. So it's about understanding how we're polarized, why we're polarized, and trying as much as possible to step back from that and not be pulled in to the divide and rule. It is possible to disagree with somebody without needing to destroy them, but we're encouraged to do that. And then, you know, we all wind up in this terrible long squabble, even with people that we should be on the same side as. And of course, the powers that be, that's how they get their way. So we need to be very careful to see when this is going on in operation, which is, of course, most of the time. But it's understanding what's going on, but also trying to show people on the outside that we actually have very good reasons to believe that there is a divide and rule policy going on, and that they need to wake up and see that. But it is amazing how many people, they don't want to see it, because I think to reveal that kind of world to them, it's very frightening to them. So they back off and they brand us the conspiracy theorists and they don't need to deal with this. But it doesn't go away. It doesn't make it go away to deny people a voice. And that's a lesson that for some reason nobody wants to learn.
Well, it's true. And the thing is that, you know, QAnon, a lot of that, and you explain that in your The Polarity Trap 3, What Are Heretics? QAnon is listed in there as, and of course, some of the stuff that they've come up with, like the reptilians underground and the underground testing sites where they're mating children with animals and creating all sorts of, and I'm just like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Now you're out there. You know, if I were to, you know, just deliver that as a regular thing on my radio show, I think people would tune me out. What do you think about all that? QAnon right on or right off? How is that working?
I mean, what I tried to do in the New Heretics book is really not to go down the avenue, we're going to prove this or we're going to prove that. What it is about accepting that there are people that have these beliefs. They have a right to their beliefs. They might be right, they might be wrong. But if you try and condemn them, if you try and force them to the fringes of society, right, it doesn't make it go away. What you do is you then create a more extreme way of people trying to have a voice, because they're not even allowed to ask reasonable questions. The pandemic was a good example of that. They weren't allowed to ask even the reasonable questions. And so then they thought, well, hang on a minute, there must be a reason somebody doesn't want us to be questioning any aspect of it. And before you know it, they then feel that there's every reason to question everything about it. So by pushing this down, right, you're actually making it a worse problem. QAnon, really, they're a symptom as much as a cause of something that's been going on for a lot longer. I mean, the reptilian agenda, I mean, that, you know, David Icke was putting that around more than 2 decades ago. So QAnon have kind of taken that to another degree, maybe, but it's not new. What it's doing is bringing out something that was there, sort of in the underworld, as it were, for a long time, and suddenly QAnon gave it a voice. Now, even if you think they're completely wrong, that was their voice. That's what they believed. And just saying that they should be condemned for having that belief, that's not a solution. So I'm trying to find some kind of middle way here where we can accept that is somebody's viewpoint. Let's stop shouting them down. Let's understand why they believe it, even if you don't want to.
Well, thank you for that, because that's what I've been trying to get across to a lot of people, is freedom of speech still exists here in America. It's a God-given right. And see, in your second chapter of this, The Art of Reaction, this is all Hegelian dialectic. The problem, reaction, solution equation. That's Hegelian dialectic. And
yeah,
they're using social media and everything else to taint our viewpoints. Go ahead and explain that out.
Well, I mean, again, this is something which was identified decades ago. And that's the shocking thing, is that we're still here having to tell people that the equation of problem, reaction, solution, which again, David Icke was talking about years ago, is in operation every single day. We see it all around us. And yet you have to really wave this in front of people's eyes for them to realize that. Yeah, absolutely. Again, we are stimulated to react always. But when they do that, they're trying to make us react in the way that they, you know, inverted commas, they want us to react. And what it does is create division, and of course it puts us under their control. And I've always said, if you've got a passionate feeling about something, you should absolutely express it, but be sure that somebody isn't not poking you to have that, because it might be somebody wants you to react with that passion, with that anger, and then they use that as the very excuse to clamp down on you. And that's what they're doing. It's almost like people that believe, who know there is something very wrong in the world around us, they've been stirred up to be very active, and that is then used as the very excuse to put the lid on them, and we're condemned as dangerous and terrible people that must be erased from society. So I always think that we should have the views that we have, but yeah, we should perhaps be a little bit careful in the way we put them out there so that it doesn't get used against us. But at the same time, you've got to say what you think. You know, that's one of the problems. We're not allowed to do that anymore.
Well, do you bring up the Tavistock Institute in your work at all?
Yes, I mean, that's come up. I mean, again, I mean, the Tavistock Institute, I mean, on the surface, it's a mainstream organization based here in London, and it's something which a lot of people think is a marvelous thing. But you look beneath it, you look at some of the deeper levels of what's going on there, and certainly there are techniques that it looks like they have developed to try to control the masses. You know, there are techniques that it's very easy to nudge people into believing in a certain way. And, you know, that word nudge, there are whole government departments that exist to do that, to push people in a certain direction of opinion, which most people don't notice. Now, yourself, a lot of people listening to the show, of course, they know it. Once you spot it going on, you can't unspot it. But it is amazing how many people don't seem to see how easily they are nudged in various directions. And people at the Tavistock Institute, yeah, I mean, they are there developing ways to do this. Some of them may even think they're doing it for a good purpose, but I believe it certainly gets abused.
Well, it does. 844-769-2944. I know we've piqued somebody's interest out there. The phone lines are wide open if you have a question of our author, Andy Thomas. The whole idea is to get to the bottom of it. He has a website called truthagenda.org. And, you know, we're all looking for the truth, you know, trying to get there without totally twisting our you-know-what in a bunch and trying to make sense of it all. And the latest thing is this depopulation effort with the jab, Agenda 2030 and the Great Reset. You talk about that in the book as well under a chapter called Blurred Boundaries. And the thing is that politicians are directly involved in this whole bloody thing.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. So you've got, we're being compelled constantly to react. But then, and here's the clever thing, at the same time, that all the boundaries that give you the geography to navigate your way through life, that they are deliberately blurred. So, I mean, Agenda 2030, I'm sure many of your listeners are going to be very familiar with that. And people at the World Economic Forum, they're talking about having this great reset. We heard a lot about this in the pandemic. But then when you look at what that actually means, it doesn't look like anything that's going to benefit the likes of us. It will benefit those at the top almost certainly. And it has suspiciously communist leanings somewhere inside it. But the way they make it acceptable is to blur the line. So they say, well, it's for sustainable living. It's for the environment. And we've got to save the planet. And of course, that's a lovely thing. But that can then be used and abused to take away powers that you probably should still have. And then another thing, and I pick up on this in the book, during the pandemic, and many listeners might have noticed this, the word unprecedented got used over and over again. This is all unprecedented. And when you keep seeing that word, and I felt that it was now coming out in virtually every other news report, because what you're doing is making people lose the boundaries of what normality is. If you keep saying something's unprecedented, then it probably demands unprecedented action to deal with it. And what that means is it gives authorities the rights to do anything at all that they want to do. But it's all right because everything's unprecedented. Except it wasn't unprecedented. I mean, we'd actually had pandemics before and they hadn't reacted in the way they did this time. But by keep saying it, you see how it works. It's funny, sure. It sinks in gradually.
Well, you know, what are we supposed to say? All those comments you just made were unprecedented. You know, I mean, everybody adds a label to it. Our social media and our mainstream media here in America, especially, I don't know much about the BBC, but I hear a lot of demonization in mainstream America more than I do over there. Is there any difference between the U.S. and Europe as far as the amount of cancel culture and demonization?
Well, I'll speak for Britain here. I mean, as far as we can see, no. I mean, the cancelling is getting really bad. And I mean, the BBC, look, bless them, that they've been very helpful throughout history. But now it does seem to be just down one avenue of thought. And they are some of the worst for closing down anything that appears to question orthodoxy. You know, every other week they will run a story which criticises belief in conspiracies or anybody that questions the pandemic in any way. And it's very damning. And they do now look like they're just a mouthpiece for the authorities. And I mean, the BBC, of course, is publicly funded, and there's many threats that it's soon going to lose that public funding. So, of course, they're desperate not to lose it. So they're now going to do anything the government tells them to do. So sadly, yeah, no, the BBC, it's no longer existing to give a voice to everybody. It is not impartial, as some people say it is, which is very sad. So, no, the mainstream media here, I would imagine, is pretty much down the same road as yours. And of course, what that does is it means the only places that we can talk about stuff like this are where we are today, fantastic people like yourself. But what they're trying to do is push it more and more to the fringes in the hope that normal people, as they would call them, never get to find this stuff. So, yeah, if you go to BitChute, yeah, if you go to Parler, you might hear this stuff, but you're no longer going to hear it in a mainstream world. And the hope seems to be that somewhere down the line, maybe decades, maybe centuries, nobody will even think to look for this so-called conspiracy stuff, that they will forget that it exists and only do what they're told. And, you know, the book highlights ways in which this is happening. And we need to record now what is happening and preserve this knowledge now, which does question the orthodoxy, before all the avenues to express it vanish. And I do think that's a worry. And that's why it's crucial that we do keep talking about it.
844-769-2944 is the number to call if you have a question for our guest author, Andy Thomas. The book is called The New Heretics. And, you know, a lot of these things have really gotten into America's mindset. I even brought up what happened with WTC7 and the BBC. And as I remember, and I actually saw the BBC report, they were saying that World Trade Center 7 fell 30 minutes before it actually happened. Did you happen to catch that?
Absolutely. I mean, that's become a very famous sort of icon, really, of everything that was wrong with the official 9/11 story. My suspicion is, I mean, the journalist was just reporting what she'd been handed to say. and of course, the report had gone out early, and I think she had no idea what she was talking about. But what it means is, clearly, it was planned for that building to come down. I mean, everybody knows this, who's ever looked at it for 5 minutes, even. That reveals that neatly, because there was no expectation that that building would fall down in the way it did, and there it is getting reported 20 minutes earlier before it really does. So that tells you that there was some kind of laid out script for the events that happened that day, horrible though they were. That's a particularly famous one. I doubt that the journalist putting it out there had any idea that she was being caught up in that, but that's the way it works, isn't it? You know, you just have a few people that know what's going on, the rest get manipulated and sucked in, and that's how it works.
Well, that's exactly what happened with the pandemic, too. Everybody did the same thing. They all manipulated the media. The media was all saying the same talking points. Besides that word unprecedented, they were all saying the same type of thing. And, of course, QAnon said, oh, it's Operation Mockingbird, which that's not true. Operation Mockingbird was the FBI going after Robert S. Allen and some other guy to infiltrate them and find out what their financial records and everything look like because they suspected them of some sort of illicit activity. And so that was what Operation Mockingbird was, but Q took it and ran with it in a different direction because of the fact that the media was all using magpie tactics and repeating virtually the same talking points. So, you know, to me, into the self, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense as a conspiracy when you've got everybody orchestrating and it being involved in it and the media being controlled by the hierarchy. I mean, the hierarchy, obviously, Klaus Schwab already said, we're going to change you. They came right out, and his minion, Harari, he came out and he said the same thing. He said, we're going to inject you with stuff that nanotechnology that's going to turn you into a, you know, transhuman. And, you know, they came right out of the box and said it. They did not mince words, and they weren't looking to cover anything up. He wrote the book, The Great Reset. Schwab did. He already knew what his intentions was. So some of these things I find difficult to be conspiratorial when everything seems to be putting itself out there as fact. What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things the pandemic did, of course, was hand over a lot of power to people like Schwab and the World Health Organization. I mean, I'm sure you are more than aware that they're making a power grab at the moment.
They are, the treaty.
You know, well, they call it the treaty. It's not technically a treaty, but it would amount to the same thing, where if governments of the world sign up to it, they're basically, the World Health Organization will have the power to, you know, push a single, you know, rule around the world, which could be mandatory, and governments will just give away their power to do anything about it. Now, I mean, it is surprising, and here maybe hangs a bit of hope. There has been some mainstream coverage of this, and there's a well-known television presenter called Neil Oliver here, and he's been putting out stuff saying, this is wrong. This is far too much power to give to anybody. But of course, fear does it. And of course, for the majority of people that just went down the total fear route with the pandemic, they will see this as a very good thing. And that's how everything's always sold. Well, of course, you don't want to go down with a terrible disease. So give all your power to the World Health Organization and everything will be all right. And people fall for this very sadly. And that's the same with the Great Reset. So because there are worries about climate and all the rest of it, whatever individuals believe, nonetheless, then that sort of that desire to make the world a better place is then abused. And that's the sad thing. But, you know, they don't help themselves, do they? I mean, Klaus Schwab, I mean, you know, he gets accused of being New World Order, which, of course, he denies. And then in the next step, you see him being photographed wearing strange robes and a strange esoteric badge. You think,
Magic mushrooms.
But do you know what I mean? But in a way, what they're doing there is almost waving it in our faces. They're sort of saying, we don't really care what you think. And I think that's the problem. So, yeah, what's come out of the last 2 years are, you know, the powerful organizations are now even more powerful. And they're trying to use that to destroy any dissent. And that is why we need, in a reasonable fashion, as much as we can, to keep that dissent going. Because if we are silenced forever, that's what they want.
Yep. Deplatforming and censorship is what it's all about. Andy Thomas is on the line with us. He's going to stay on the phone. We're going to take your calls, 844-769-2944. Be thinking of a good question for him. We'll be back after this short break here on the Power Hour. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Herb & Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Caps, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Pure Lisi, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Orega Rest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
This craft that the Strokes family had of recognizing the medicinal value of herbs by taste and then putting formulas together, knowing the herbal ingredients they needed, but putting them together in perfect proportion by taste, just like a chef would, the Strauss Heart Drops, the world-famous Strauss Heart Drops that saved my life, Jim Strauss's and many others, my dad, my list goes on and on. But those Heart Drops, they were developed, created 40 years ago for Jim himself after a heart attack. Now, this formula fixed my high blood pressure over 20 years ago, and I have had great blood pressure since.
Call Jay at 877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Thirty-two minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Monday, May 23rd, 2022. We're in Central Time. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. We're here with Andy Thomas talking to us from across the pond in England. The book is called The New Heretics. The number 844-769-2944. If anything you have to add, you may have your own little conspiracy theory we haven't talked about yet you want us to touch on. We can do that as well. I was going to get into, because we all know about vanishing videos and banned books and deplatforming. I mean, it's happened to everybody that's famous that's had an opinion. All of a sudden, as soon as it gets published, it gets eliminated because the power elite, well, we just can't have that stuff floating around now, can we? And so we get into this other little topic of discussion, the 5G. And, of course, there's pros. You see Lily from AT&T and everybody on here. I don't know if you get that stuff over on BBC, but, you know, over here they're just promoting 5G as being the new thing. And then everybody is saying, well, wait a minute. 5G is 20 or 30 or 40 times worse than 4G. EMF hypersensitivity, more cancer. I mean, this is all, is it spin or is it actual proof?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the areas that I use as an example of something which, you know, it gets made fun of in the mainstream. Anybody that worries about it, they're uninformed, they're unscientific. And then you look at the amount of actual scientists, qualified, sensible, proper scientists, who have raised concerns about electromagnetic pollution in general. But of course, 5G, yeah, that is a new extra layer coming in on the existing electromagnetic pollution. And there's no question there have been issues found over the years. And what I don't understand is why you can't just say that and say, well, okay, can we just look at that and understand why all these hundreds, thousands of scientists are actually saying this? And yet, if you express that, you're a conspiracy theorist. And what the clever thing is, if a scientist does come out and say, I actually do think this is a problem, they instantly get branded mavericks. They themselves are branded conspiracy theorists. And so they're sort of pushed aside from their peer group and ignored. And that's how it works. So it's actually quite frightening that there is such a level of evidence which says that all of this stuff, useful though it is, right? Fantastic. Wi-Fi, we all use it, but too much of it, constant exposure is not good. And 5G, I mean, when this was first put forward, there was a consortium of scientists who all signed a petition asking for a moratorium to stand back and actually look at it before they brought it in. And of course, they were ignored. And of course, there's massive money involved here. Again, there's a lot of money, power, authority involved. Nobody wants to admit that this kind of technology might harm us, because then a lot of things are going to crumble. And yet you look at the evidence and it should at the very least be discussed. So there's a whole chapter in the book which actually looks at that. And even if you don't believe that 5G causes COVID-like symptoms, when you actually look at it, it's not impossible that if you are exposed to 5G, that it might make you more vulnerable to other things. So if COVID, if you believe in it, does come along, it might make you more vulnerable. I don't understand why people can't say that, but it's one more thing which is swept out of the public view. And, you know, again, any experts, real experts that question, they are also then swept out of public view. And that not only is wrong, it's extremely worrying. And we're seeing this going on in a number of areas these days, of course.
No doubt. 844-769-2944, the number to call. Kevin in Ohio, you're on the phone with Andy Thomas. How are you?
Hey, just fine. I hope you two are too. Yeah. I want to make an economic statement first, and then a question about a theory, or, you know, a reality. Have you seen that the ruble is like the strongest performing currency today? Have you seen that, Dave, in the world?
Well, I know that Russia's using it as leverage to do their buying and selling, but past that point, we're still watching, you know, all of the world go around on our dollar, and our dollar seems to be diminishing in value based on inflation because they're spending more money.
I mean, Kevin, that's a very interesting observation because, yeah, I mean, one of the clever things Putin's done is to try to get his way with countries that might be thinking of going against him, siding with NATO. He's saying that he will only do transactions in rubles. And, of course, yeah, that has suddenly made the ruble much stronger. There are lots of theories that he's actually done what he's done to try to get the reaction from the West that we have given so that he can actually ultimately make his own economy stronger. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But yeah, interesting that initially we are now seeing this happening. And I mean, it is the case that some of the countries that are saying they're not going to deal with Russia actually are, but they're just doing it now in an underhand way. They're clever. They're using kind of like middlemen sort of in businesses to do the dealing now. So it's not what it seems. People who are saying we're not dealing with Russia anymore, you look under the surface, and sadly they are. So in other words, what we've been presented with, yeah, again, suggests other agendas at work here, but we're not allowed to talk about them. But that's the usual thing, I'm afraid.
Well, see, the thing is...
Yeah,
go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, I appreciate what he said there. But the fact of the matter is the ruble's gone from like a trading... at 118 per dollar down to 58 point something as of Friday. And it's gained like 5% against the dollar. The dollar's dropped 5% against it, and the euro's dropped between 7% and 9% against the ruble. And they're really building something strong with these tactics. And then quickly, I'd like to ask if he has any information about the South Pole. There was a lot of information about the turn of the, during the last election cycle, that a lot of people were going down to the South Pole, including John Kerry. Has he any information about the South Pole? And yeah. I'll get off the line and take the answer and listen. God bless you.
All right. Thanks for your call, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, the South Pole is a really interesting thing. You're absolutely right. In the last few years, we've had a procession of very big, important people going down there and kind of unexpected people, including Buzz Aldrin, you know, the astronaut Buzz Aldrin. What's he doing going down to the South Pole? The working theory is they have found something. They've dug something up. It would seem to be of great importance. Is it extraterrestrial? Is it some new weird power source? We don't know. But yeah, whatever's going on, it's attracting an awful lot of people down there. And obviously nobody's going to want to tell us about it. But you're absolutely right. And again, that's the kind of thing where it's clear that there is something attracting big, important people down there. And yet nobody seems to think this is worth talking about in the mainstream media. If Buzz Aldrin, who's a very elderly gentleman now, is being shipped down to the South Pole, you want to know why, don't you? You don't make that kind of journey at that kind of age for nothing. So, yeah, I think something very fascinating is going on. Knowing exactly what's going on, like all of these things, you're going to have to read between the lines, but I do suspect something has been found that is of great value to whoever gets it first.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing, the same thing too, Andy. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Andy Thomas. The book is The New Heretics. He has a website, truthagenda.org. The number to call is 844-769-2944. If you have anything to contribute with the time we have left remaining, if you're going to call in, please don't wait until 55 minutes after the hour to call. You've got 15 minutes now that you can engage in dialogue with us. Possibly anything answered. It's like, okay, somebody's going to call up and ask about the Kennedy assassination. I know you probably have delved into that before, haven't you, before we get into crop circles.
To be sure. Yeah, I mean, look, the Kennedy assassination, it's still endlessly fascinating because very clearly there was something going on around that way beyond anything we were ever told. I think the problem is, though, that you get layer upon layer, and as the decades go by, it becomes harder to sift those layers to know for certain, you know, what the truth is. And there's people who claim to have been the other gunmen. Some are more credible than others. But in the end, it's almost like the hope is we all get so confused, we all just move on. We know something wasn't quite right, and we think nothing more about it. But they do that a lot, and they've done that with 9/11 as well. It's like you introduce so many layers in, and then we all kind of know in our gut something's not right. But the world moves on. It becomes history, and the hope seems to be we'll stop talking about it one day. Well, we won't, but of course some people, you know, the hope is that they won't ever think about it. It'll just become a confusion of the past.
Yeah, well, the next thing everybody wants to know, the Q, of course, has come out with the fact that JFK Jr. is still alive. He staged his own death. What's roaming around in your circles?
I mean, listen, I mean, the way I see that is if that is true, I think somebody's going to have to produce it. Do you know what I mean? Because, yeah, I mean, that's a big claim and fascinating if true. But it's the kind of thing that gets said. But then if you don't see the evidence for that, that can then be used to undermine the more credible questions around Kennedy. So, yeah, if I see absolute clear evidence of that, we'll say, fantastic, that's a really good new lead. But at the moment, it's just a claim. And, you know, I always advocate just being cautious with the claims we make. There has to be some level of evidence. Otherwise, it gets used to attack us and discredit the good stuff, of which, as we know, there is a lot.
There is. And of course, you know, going to the dentist, here's another big thing that you talk about in your book, alternative medicine and fluoridation and additives. And this is something that I think has really bothered a lot of our listeners out there because they're saying fluoride will make you weak-willed. Yeah, you've obviously had quite a to-do in researching that. What have you found out in that regard?
Like many things, you look and you find people on one side saying exactly that. This is here to poison us. It's toxic. Why are we being fed it? You then get medical experts saying, no, this is necessary. It's a marvelous thing. And you're always left not being sure unless you are equally qualified. And that is often the problem. In the end, I think you have to stack up the probability of truth and see whether there is something worth discussing. Now, that's the way I always go in on this. Look, I might not have the answer to this, right? I can't 100% prove to you fluoridation is bad, but I can see a lot of evidence that suggests that it might be. And because of that, I believe that should be available to the public at large to make up their own minds. And that is true of many areas, especially to do with health. To push that off the table and say that that is not anything that can be discussed is where it goes wrong. It's absolutely clear that there are some health experts, right, who do question. And yes, the majority, we are told, say it's good for us. And yet, why does it keep coming up as an issue, right? We've managed to get through centuries and centuries without fluoridation, apart from natural fluoride, which occurs in the water. But that's a different whole level, you know. Why suddenly can we not survive without it? And, of course, many people believe we're not going to survive if we have too much of it. So, again, is it a depopulation program? Is it a way of keeping the masses docile? And it's funny, when you say that to people, people will often make fun of you for being too paranoid. But then you read the big new Brzezinski's book, The Grand Chessboard, and Brzezinski was New World Order, if ever there was one. And he actually openly suggests in the book having satellites up going around the Earth, which beam down waves, which interfere with human brain waves and keep us docile. Well, he actually suggested that as a perfectly reasonable way forward for world peace. So you can't then say these people wouldn't consider something like that. But again, it's that, it's always that thing, if you say you are portrayed as the paranoid, delusional one. And yet there it is in black and white in a very mainstream book published by somebody who was pulling a lot of strings, especially during the Obama years.
So that's the Obama years. And of course, now everybody knows that Biden is not running the shift show here in America. They think it's somebody else. And I mean, that in of itself is a whole conspiracy that Obama, the New World Order, the WEF, I mean, everybody is giving input into this thing, and it seems to be going through his chief of staff. Is that kind of your understanding on this whole thing?
Look, I think there's been for a long while a pattern of realizing that people who are branded conspiracy theorists are now dangerous and must be silenced in some way. And certainly that was upped big time in the Obama years, because he hired Cass Sunstein, who's a well-known kind of psychologist and writer, complete skeptic when it comes to conspiracies, to try to use things like, they call it cognitive infiltration, ways to discredit the conspiracy theories. And of course, Cass Sunstein was married to Samantha Power, who was one of Obama's right-hand women. So, you know, there was a clear attempt there to start to muddy the waters. It would seem, from what we know, that there were discussions of deliberately seeding fake stories, and we talk about fake news, but we know that comes from all directions, deliberately to discredit. So, yeah, I do think there has been a pattern of that ever since. And probably always, there are all the people that really pull the biggest strings are the ones you don't hear about. And that's the clever way you do it. Yeah, you've got to have somebody up front taking the flak, being the public face. It's always the levels above and beyond, which, of course, many people write about in our world. They're the ones you need to look at, pulling the strings. But, of course, mostly in the public will never see them. And the ones that try to expose those people, what happens is they are the ones that are attacked as being crazy people. Don't listen to them. But we should, I think, listen to them, at least again, to hear them out, because it's always clear there are tiers of power that are there always, and I'm sure it's especially true now, and we should know more about them.
We should. 844-769-2944 is the number to call. Brian in Missouri, you're on the phone with Andy Thomas. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about fluoride. It calcifies your pineal gland, okay? And your pineal gland is your eyeball to see in the other dimensions. If you cut it out and you dissect it, it has the same rods and cones as your two eyeballs. And if you do chakra dhyana twice a day like I do, it starts working and you can see in the other dimensions. And I think its major purpose is to calcify that. I had to go through a lot of rigmarole to get mine cleared out so I could use my third eye. But to me, that's the biggest thing it does.
Now, so does that make him, Andy, does that make him part of the fringe?
Listen, that's a belief. I can't comment on it because I haven't had the experiences that your caller has. This is a thing. You've given him a voice. That is correct. This is something which is real for him. I'm not there. I haven't examined it, so I can't comment. But I'm not going to make fun of anybody that has an experience like that. We are all fringe to the mainstream world. What's the difference? We have the right to our experiences and our beliefs. They can disagree, but, you know, we should be allowed to discuss this. And it's great that you've raised that. So, you know, thank you for sharing that with us.
We appreciate your comment there, Brian.
Thank you. Okay. Bye.
Thank you. All right. Now, there's one chapter I'm looking at here, and this, of course, has been the Brits have to really be upset with Meghan and Harry and all of this garbage. A lot of people, I mean, in of itself, the infighting between Charles and Harry and William and, yeah, it looks like Kate and Meghan are trying to be, you know, cordial to each other, but it doesn't, I mean, this woke thinking and all their appearances on TV, the Brits have to really be looking at this whole thing in disgust, given the fact that their mother has basically been pegged as the chairman of the Committee of 300, and her name is actually on a signature on a document that's floating around out there. Is that a conspiracy too?
Well, I think what's happened is with Harry and Meghan, they've sort of given voice to a generation that I think hadn't been out there before, that started to actually criticize the royal family and what it was perceived that they stood for. I don't think anybody thought that it would come from a prince himself. And obviously Meghan, she's got her own views. There are people that support them here, I need to tell you that, who think that they're a marvelous breath of fresh air saying what needs to be said. But I would say the majority of people feel that even if they have their beliefs, what they've done is attack this institution that many people hold dear. Now, I know many listeners here don't, the reptilian agenda and all of that, hate the royals. I understand that. But, you know, if we're just looking at the mainstream, many people feel that Harry and Meghan, yeah, they were like this sort of front for the whole woke generation. And look, even in the book, I have criticisms of it, but I accept that it exists. We need to understand why it exists. But yeah, Harry and Meghan, they're kind of at the forefront of that wave, if you like. And what's right and wrong about it, it comes across neatly with them. I think they've gone about the way they've gone about raising their issues in a bad way. And I think it's made them more enemies here than friends. Not, as I say, not universally. There are people that think that they're right. However, what it's done is made people look at all of that kind of stuff. And look, cancel culture, no platforming, all of these things are ways of silencing people. And we've got into a stupid situation where if somebody disagrees with you, you don't try and deal with it or deflect it or just stand up against it. You try and destroy that opposing voice. And that is currently being used against us now. So we need to be very aware of that. And we mustn't do it to others either, because we get very defensive in the conspiracy world when people attack us, as of course they do. We also need to hold back just a bit and understand why people might do that. And it's often because they've been trained to do it and they honestly think we're wrong. Well, we honestly think we're right. But, you know, we mustn't do the same. We must never just demonize the opposition to the point where you can't understand why they might oppose you. If we have understanding and at least compassion for why somebody might disagree, that's important. Woke at the moment is not doing that. It seems to not have understanding of why people might not like what they're doing. So it tries to destroy them, which is not very woke, of course. But it's all part, again, of that polarization, the reaction culture that we're in. And it is indeed, as I call it in the book, a polarity trap.
Well, and of course, the woke situation even affected Disney, because now its status as of July of next year is taken away. Disney World, Walt Disney World in Florida and Universal Studios and all that now is going to go back to the county of Osceola and Orange County. They're going to be controlling it. So much for their woke agenda getting out of the box. I mean, look how the conservative majority has dealt with this. I got to ask you about snowflake generations. I mean, you bring this up in the book. Snowflakes, do you have a definition for them?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think if snowflakes exist, we need to understand why they exist. It's very easy to get angry with people who have become very sensitive. They can't deal with issues. They can't seem to deal with the world around them. But they've been bred to become like that. And you look back, and in the book, I show a history of how we got to this. Some of it was well-meaning. Some of it got abused. Some of it is just a natural social trend. But, you know, I think basically the weaker we are, the more we are unable to stand up for ourselves and accept an opposing argument. Absolutely, the more controlled we are. And the clever thing is that we wind up controlling each other. That's what cancel culture does. It's a method of the people stopping the people from speaking. And in the end, the authorities don't need to do anything because we're all shutting each other down and just falling into infighting. So, yeah, there are snowflakes. There are people that struggle to deal with everything. And you're bombarded with social media. You're bombarded also with all the worries of the world from a very young age. And that is not good. I saw images of a local children's parade recently. And, you know, they're dressed in costumes and they're on floats and that. But it's not like the old days where it was all fun and games and silly costumes. Every single one was about save the planet, big issues, climate, race. And it's fine, but they're five-year-olds. And that's weighted on them from the start. And the fear that must engender, I think, in the end, must make you feel very unable to deal with the world if that's what you're brought up with. And it does make you wonder if that isn't the whole point. And then, of course, in the end, you don't have the strength to stand against things when they clearly do need standing against.
Well, and you've seen the movie Conspiracy Theory with Mel Gibson and Julia Roberts, right?
For sure.
I mean, I can't help it, but, you know, he keeps referring to they and them. You know, when he was talking to Julia Roberts on the bus, he goes, no, it was them. Or maybe it was they. You know, we're trying, you know, this makes up the whole crux of conspiracy theories as far as, you know, who we're being attacked by. But demonization is definitely the way, besides cancel culture, just like what they did to Kyle Rittenhouse. And, you know, the video proved otherwise. It wasn't a conspiracy anymore. So, you know, this is the thing. Even our own famous leaders call them a white supremacist for no reason at all. Demonization. It's a real big thing in the media these days, and it's mostly mainstream media. What's your take on that?
Yeah, it is. I mean, look, I know we're running short on time here, so I'll say this. One of the things in the book that I do is at least having identified all these issues and more, and where freedom of expression is currently likely to go in the future, and at the moment it's not looking good. But there are things we can do. There is still a chance to turn this around. And I do put forward in the book very practical things to do. Right. Because some people that they feel very sort of disenfranchised. They feel very weakened by all of this fear put on them and losing their voice, being silenced. There are things you can do. And the book goes out of its way to leave you feeling empowered, saying, actually, yeah, stand up for what you believe in. Right. Don't just demonize the opposition in the way they do to us. Don't fall into the same patterns. But there are ways of trying to understand why we're being attacked and trying to convey to them why we must be heard, right? Because otherwise we're going to fall ever more into this dystopia where literally you are in a kind of an Orwell world where literally there is no freedom of speech. And right now, that's pretty much where we are. I like to think it's not working, because if all of that suppression was working, not many people would believe in conspiracies anymore. But as it turns out, the belief in them seems to be going up and up and up. So everything they're doing is wrong anyway. So there you go. Read the New Heretics to find out more.
There we go. Truthagenda.org is the website. Andy Thomas, thanks so much for being on the show with us here on the Power Hour. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.